Amen. We are called to do right. That's just it. That's what it all comes down to. That's what it all comes down to in your life as a Christian, no matter what you face, no matter what your trials are, no matter what you are going through at this time. It does not matter from that standpoint. You and I are called. You and I are called to do right. That's what God expects from us. You know, there's a lot of people that go through things. All of God's people go through certain things. They have certain challenges and trials and tribulations that are uniquely fit for them. And one of the things that they come to is a place that they're going to come to is a place where, you know what? You got to do right. No matter what you're feeling, whether it's anxieties and fears and all of those things that befall the children of God, you got to do right. You don't get to make excuses for doing wrong. Whatever you're struggling, you may be struggling with depression or anxiety or mental health issues, or maybe even a husband that's not doing the things that are he supposed to do, or a wife not doing the things that she's supposed to do. But doing right is what you're supposed to do. We follow Christ. We follow the God of the Bible. We don't question God's word. We obey God's word. I'm going to say that again to you as Christians. We're not like these Fruit Loops over here we're going to talk about today, and we better never be like that. We better obey God and follow God and not question God when it comes to that. Question the validity of what the Lord is saying to us, what God has required of us, what God has said to us in His Word. One of the quickest ways for you to get into a lot of trouble is for you to decide in your heart that it's okay for you to question God. Are you going to question what God's word says? It's a good way to get in trouble, friend. It's a good way to have some problems in life. Make your problems worse. When you decide that you're going to question God. Right, we believe God and we follow God. That's what we do. That's extremely important for people who have mental health issues and who have depressions and anxieties and overall trials. I have a Bible study to do, possibly if I get time. I don't know if I'm going to have time for the remedies for the faint saint. And I don't know if I'll get to that here today. I'm not sure. I want to talk about what's this issue right now that I'm talking about, because it is very damaging to the believers of Christ today, to God's children out there. There are a group of people out there that are gaining in popularity because sin is in vogue. Sin is always popular. Everybody likes the fruit and the nuts. You know what's a lot harder to do? Do right. It's sure easy to make excuses for not doing right. If you don't like something God's word says, you just change it. And these bunch of Jezebels, be they men or be they women, it really doesn't matter. Because they're stinking all the same. They got that Jezebel spirit. And let me tell you, I must be the poop that attracts the flies, the Jezebel flies. Because I'm telling you, when I get out there and I start preaching on this topic, when I start talking about it, they come out of the woodwork everywhere. And I just want to be very clear to all those that are listening and paying attention. I want to be very clear. By God's grace, I will be the thorn in the side and that mean old man that comes out with the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and rebukes the ridiculous idolatry of the age and rebukes the blasphemy of who God is. Because these people are creating a God in their own image. Because they cannot grasp with rationale the God of the Bible. I was just having this conversation with Brother Joshua this morning when he was giving me an adjustment, a chiropractic adjustment. And we were having this conversation this morning that when men get into error is when they try to take some God, Jesus Christ, the Father in heaven, and his attributes, and they attempt to rationalize who he is. See, these guys can't believe that God would pick their sorry carcasses up and throw them into hell. That God is angry with the wicked every day. That man is an absolutely fallen and wicked, vile, disgusting creature. Loves his sin, loves his wickedness, loves his vileness, and hates who God is by nature. His mind is at enmity with God. These people can't fathom that. You know what? When you get saved by the grace of God, you'll be able to understand that by faith. Can I understand everything? No. But I can believe it by faith. Do I understand the intricacies of the Trinity? No. But I believe it by faith. Do I understand everything? No. I believe it by faith. I was going to get to that today, Betty. Betty said, anyone see the lady saying Jesus arose from the dead as a disabled person? We're going to get to that. See, they're making a God in their own pocket. After their image. That's why the God of the Bible is nothing like how they try to portray him. He is holy, you stinking, wicked maggot. And some of you out there are saying, you should talk like Jesus did, because Jesus was this nice fluffy rabbit that bounced around all day long, giving kisses and hugs to everything. Little bunny foo-foo, that's who he was. Have you ever read the words of Jesus? Have you ever read what he said? And I fully admit, you bunch of Jezebels and you bunch of Fruit Loops, you aren't going to like me. I don't want you to like me. I want you to get saved by the grace of Almighty God, have him change your heart and life and make you a new creature. Then you'll like me. Then you'll thank God that there was a preacher that got up and preached the word of God to you and told you that God is holy and you're not, you little squirt. But like John the Baptist. And by the way, I'm not saying that if your pastor doesn't talk like me, he's not a good guy. I didn't say that at all. I didn't say that at all. And I don't believe in being mean to people. I don't believe in degrading people in that sense. I do believe in taking the law of God and slaying the wicked, wielding the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. I do believe in that. And by the way, none of you little jackboot Jezebel, nasty women out there, or you jackboot effeminate men out there, you nasty little effeminate men, are going to make me shut up and stop preaching God's Word because you don't like my tone. Yeah, they didn't like John the Baptist's tone either. That's why they killed him. They didn't like Jesus' tone either. That's why they killed him. They didn't like Peter's tone either. That's why they killed him. Amen. Jezebel wasn't too happy with Elijah's tone either, or what he said. But I'm going to tell you what, when a religious Pharisee, like this little feller right here, this little funny feller right here, comes out and tries to attack my Father in heaven and attack Jesus Christ, my Savior, and misrepresent him, I'm going to come out swinging. Plain and simple. Because it's damnable heresy what they're doing. Damnable heresy. It's dangerous. What you believe about God affects your practice. It affects your practice. It will affect it. And I'm not going to sit back and just, as a pastor in this age that God has called me to rise up and to say something, I'm not going to sit by idly and watch people misrepresent the God of the Bible and teach children to misrepresent the God of the Bible. And make God out to be some kind of cartoon carnival character. No, you're the cartoon carnival character that speaks with a serpent's tongue. And by the way, the Holy Spirit is not effeminate, just so you know. Well, how's good morning or good afternoon, I should say. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's 2:19 p.m. And I just totally made half the internet angry. Anyway, the ones that are listening. And now I'm here to say hello to everybody. Let's see who's on here right now. Let's say hi to everybody. Before I get started in ripping the face off of this apostasy and dealing with the absolute wicked and vile, disgusting things that are going on. Hello to everybody on here. Looks like we've got a few on here. Leno's on here. Joseph Jordan. Carl Winters. Mary Teresa. Peter's on here. Fabian's on here. Teresa Darrow's wife. Elijah Morgan. Trucking through California. Christine Sinclair is on there. My wife is on here. Let's see. Joe McDonald is off the farm and on the broadcast. Andrea from Iowa is on here. Okay. Serger der KJV. Serger der KJV is on here. I don't know what that means. Sager der KJV. Right? Anna Shell, home of the Florida Palm Tree Cowboys, who we affectionately call Palm Tree Cowboys. Orange, all I think of. All I think of, Anna Shell. All I think of. Palm trees and orange juice. That's it. I can't get in my mind. It cannot wrap around cowboy. Palm trees? Orange juice. That's it. That's all I get. From the Faroe Islands. Hey. Patch the Pirate was on the Faroe Islands. Anyway, let's see. Great weather here in Iowa, there in Iowa. Yes, it's nice weather. Brian and Debbie. And Gators, wrestling Gators. Grandpa just retired from his third job that he's had in his life, but he just retired from that one, and he's going to look for some other type of work over here. A little bit closer, not be like 50 minutes away like he was working. So it was a long drive. Don't worry, it's getting hot again. 90 degrees is coming next week. Joe Dempsey. The one and only person beside that's not a member of this church that listens from Northfield, Minnesota. Oh, that's funny. Oh, anyway, if anybody in Northfield finds out you listen, Joe, you're going to be next to me on the most hated list. The most hated list. That's what's going to happen to you. For sure. Moving to Bloomington. Andrea's not looking forward to... Now, Andrea, I have to ask you a serious question here. It's a very important one, if you're ready for this. When you were in Des Moines, did you ever eat at Jethro's? That's a very serious question. Have you ate at Jethro's before, Andrea? That's a extremely serious question. I know there's going to be a delay. A delay in time. But I just wondered if you've ever ate there before, if you've ever ate at Jethro's. I mean, that's a very and Thomas Havis from Detroit. Thomas has been here to visit. Yes, Andrea has ate at Jethro's. Good food, isn't it, Andrea? Good food. I heard they said they're going to put one of those Jethro's in Mason City, Iowa. Mason City, which is only an hour from me here. So to speak, hour or so. Somewhat. It's about an hour and a half from the Twin Cities area. Anyway, so we're looking forward to that. I have been to the machine shed. I have been to the original machine shed, Andrea, in the Quad Cities. Outside of the Quad Cities, you gotta understand, I am homegrown. I have ate at the machine shed numerous times. And the machine shed is one of the best restaurants in Iowa, actually in America. It is one of the best. The Iowa Machine Shed. Yes, of course I have. You can't be from the Quad Cities and not go to the Iowa Machine Shed. They will kick you out. But Andrea, have you ever been there when they had the all-you-can-eat buffet? That's the question to ask. Oh my goodness, was that really good? That was incredible. I took my mom there on Mother's Day, our whole family there when we were on vacation. And we went when they had a complete full buffet there. Wow, was that good. Anyway, that's why I stay out of Iowa. Anyway. Oh, you got to go there when they have the buffet. Oh, my goodness. Ask my wife. It was incredible. She'll tell you. It was good stuff. But anyway, yeah, we like our Iowa restaurants for sure because they are 1,000 times 1,000 times 1,000 times 1,000 better than Norwegian Minnesota restaurants. Definitely. Can't overstate that one little bit. Anyway. All right. So we're done with that. And we're going to move on to this. And we are going to talk about these men. Big Dogs Barbecue. You know, someday I might make it to Florida. Somebody offered me, a pastor there, offered me to come sometime and with my wife and stay. Yeah, Becca, the Machine Shed is so good, isn't it? It is. You've been there. Good stuff. The Ox Yoke in Amana. Now, Andrea, I think I've been there. I don't know how long it's been there, but if it's been there since I was a kid, and that's family-style cooking over there in Amana, I'm pretty sure that my mom and dad took me there, took our family there at least two or three times when we were kids. I'm pretty sure if that's what it is, that I've been there. And that is a fun place. You just gave me an idea. I got to take my kids there sometime. Anyway, I like having fun with my children. I like going on the road with them. We have a lot of fun going on the road. We have a blast going on the road. We do. Some families are like, oh, I can't do that. We love it. Yep, Andrea, I've been there. I am sure my mom and dad took me there when I was a child. Absolutely sure that they did. All right, anyway. Let's get on to more unpleasant things, but then we'll get to pleasant things when we rebuke the unpleasant things, or when we get through the unpleasant things, something like that. Anyway, but it's fun to talk about some of these things and the experiences. We will definitely meet up with your family. If I don't scare your children and your husband. If I have not scared them off yet, then you should be good. But we would definitely do that. That would be a blast for sure. That's, Hannah, where we need to go in the fall instead of out there at that weird fish place out there where all the candy is. We need to take a drive down to Amana. That's what we need to do. We'll have to remember that for the fall. Remember that when we like to do that? Maybe that's something we'll do. Anyway, we'll see. All right. I love meeting people. I do. Except when they don't like me, then that gets really weird. It gets really weird when they don't like me. It's like really like, ooh. Like one time I was in this store and this guy didn't say anything to me. He just said hello and he goes, oh, wow. And I'm like, I just look at him. He's like, are you Pastor Cooley? I'm like, yeah. Oh, and he goes, And he goes, I'm speechless. I'm like, okay, how you doing? I'm like, whatever. I don't know if he hated me or if he liked me. He never said, but it really was weird. I'm thinking he didn't like me. But anyway. All right. Let's go. Are you ready? This is how evangelical LGBTQ Jezebels attack God the Father and the Son and the patriarchy. They hate it. I do need to get to Michigan, Teresa. I do. There's just a whole bunch of us, so I'd have to figure out where we're going to stay, where to come and meet you at, maybe stay for a couple days, feed your chickens, right? All that fun stuff. Huh? Might be fun. Probably, Carl. Probably. All right. This is going to get really gross. Are you ready? Here we go.
Here's the thing. All you all that are freaking out about people using feminine pronouns for God.
All you all guys that are freaking out using those feminine pronouns for God. I can't. I just. There's something about effeminate men. There's something about effeminate men that really hit the ooh factor with me. Bible Believers 1611, I don't know where you live. You'd have to tell me that.
Are actually heretics, because Orthodox Christian theology says that there's a Trinity, and the Trinity says God is a Father, Son, and Spirit. The Spirit has always been gender neutral.
Okay, here we go. All right, are you ready? Okay, so let's back up here. Number one, the Spirit of God is not neutral. The Spirit of God is God in the Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost of God. He is a person. He is a he. Let me show you, you gender scary man. Here we go. Are you ready? John 16:8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Here's another one. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. He shall testify of me. Okay? There you go.
The Spirit has sometimes been feminine. So at very least, you have to acknowledge that within the Trinity, within the Godhead, there is more than one pronoun used.
This guy is so going to hell. When I say he's so going to hell, I mean he ought to walk around in fear that the ground at any moment is going to swallow him up.
There is more than one gender identity of God. Also, all language that we use to speak of God is a metaphor, because God is not a human being. Our words cannot contain the infinite reality that God is. So don't get caught up on language.
So don't get caught up on language. Okay, Valley Girl. Thanks for letting us know you're an absolute 100% heretic that doesn't even know its Bible, doesn't know anything at all. Absolute foolish heretic. It's so bad. It's so awful. Here's another one. Here's another Jezebel. Jen Hatmaker is a blogster, right? A devil-possessed, demon-filled, vile, devil-possessed Jezebel woman. And she's out there teaching people to the tune of thousands, right? Let's see. Here you go. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad that I can deceive you. And I even dress like a Jezebel. Right? Me, of course. Yeah. Look, 41,881,000 downloads. Do you get it? Oh, shut up, preacher. It's no big deal. $41 million. Either very foolish, naive, people downloaded her filth. Look, 2018 People's Choice Podcast winner. Do you understand that? Do you get that? This is why the Bible warns us. And this is why I preach against Jezebel. This is why I preach about Jezebel. Tribulation Force 2 said, well, what about her? Well, you'll find out. Listen up. And you'll figure it out. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed. and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. See, Jezebel's and that like spirit, absolutely 1,000% hate biblical manhood. Hate biblical manhood. They hate it. They hate it with a passion. Don't be surprised when they come flying in on this broadcast. By the way, male and female, whichever. Don't be surprised if they do. Why? Because every time you go after this effeminate Jezebel spirit, this overbearing in male and this masculine in female, watch what happens. I get the attacks all the time, man. I get them from all of them all the time. Here we go. By the way, I think it's really weird when people have like a ton of different IDs on YouTube. It's really strange. I'm not talking about this person. I'm talking about other people. Weird. Especially when they're not really content producers. I think it's weird. Well, you all haven't heard of her, but 41 million people sure have.
It's interesting, though, viewing Jesus as a white man and God as father, or as, you know, a man, period.
I mean, viewing God as a man, period. I mean, as if. That's, like, totally bad. I mean, why would you ever do that? Because the Bible calls him our father. And that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, and he became a man in the flesh. He was begotten in the flesh. Right? That's why, that's the gospel, right? That's what it is. That's the incarnation of our Savior.
Or as, you know, a man, period, emerging from the clouds, like, you know, with this stern disposition and...
God just descending from the clouds with this, like, stern disposition. How do 41 million people listen to you? How did 41 million people actually think that theologically you had a valid thought? How did anyone do that? Psalm 7:11. God judgeth the righteous. God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. God is going to deal with sinners. Right? Here you go. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. God is angry with the wicked. God is going to deal with them.
Stern disposition and this sort of ruling with an iron fist and this powerful, almost punitive approach to humanity generally serves one group of people in one.
Yeah, it's called the saved. You Jezebel. It's called those that have humbled themselves before the mighty hand of God. It's called those that saw that the law of God is righteous and holy, and we are not. That we are dead in trespasses and sins. That the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You don't get to change who God is because mankind is going to feel really bad. And like my emotions are going to be like, oh my goodness, it's going to be terrible. Yeah. If you're not right with God, you better believe it's going to be bad. If you haven't made peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, yeah, it's going to be really bad. You don't know a panic attack until you know one that when they stand before God and the Bible says their hearts are going to melt. Their hearts are going to fail because of fear. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Why? Because he's great. He's holy. He's righteous.
Gender, this idea, which makes it so painful and difficult for Black and Brown and female and LGBTQ plus communities to see themselves in this personification, not just see themselves, but feel safe with this God, right?
I mean, how can I like feel safe with this guy? I mean, God's in heaven and he's a judge and he's going to judge me and he's like up there and he's going to judge me by his righteous law. Like, how am I supposed to feel safe? How am I supposed to feel safe? Where is my safe place? Look, Twinkle Toes, your safe place is in Jesus Christ. Your safe place is found in Christ. You better be afraid. You better be afraid. Because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And the fear of God is not before their eyes. You think these sodomites and these queers and these transgenders and drunkards and railers and viler and vile men and disgusting men and fornicators and pornographers and all these people that are given over to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are going to feel comfortable around a holy God? Of course not. You should be afraid. No, so I think what we'll do is just change God. Oh. You mean like this? Oh. Like this. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Wait a minute. Stop the presses. Hey, Tribulation 2.0, do you get it now? Do you get it now? If you don't, I can't help you. Only God's Spirit can reveal unto you what this is. And I know some of you couldn't get excited enough to raise your voice or get that excited about somebody blasphemously talking about the Lord. Sleep on, sleep on. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. Well, since I can't reconcile God being that big meanie, I'll have to make him into something in man's image. Something very, very, very fruity. Right. That's what they want to do. They want, see, they, everybody, listen, everybody wants to go to heaven. They just don't want God to be there. You understand? They don't want God to be there. Everybody wants to go to paradise. They just don't want God to be there. Everybody wants the worship of God as long as he's not holy. As long as he's not holy, they're fine with it.
Feel cherished, to feel protected.
I need to feel cherished and protected. I don't want to feel like I'm a dirty, rotten, no good, nasty, vile sinner. I want to feel cherished. Who do you think God is? Your psychiatrist? You think he's your happy pillow? You think he's your genie up in heaven? Who in the world do you think the God of the Bible is? It's insanity. What they're representing is another God. They changed the image of the incorruptible God, right? And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. You want to bring God down and make him in your image. So you're making your own God. One that's okay with sin. One that makes excuses for your sin. That's what you want. And that's the God you want to sell to people. So I can go on and be a sodomite. I can go on and be a fornicator. I can go on and look at my porn. I can go on and be a transgender. I can go on and live a wicked lifestyle. I can go on and be a drunk. I can go on and do whatever else I want to do. Yeah, that's you. You just made you. You made God look like you. Act like you. Talk like you. Walk like you. Judge like you. That's what you did. That's exactly what they're doing. And by the way, let me say something to you out there. If you're not mad about it, you wonder why I'm getting so excited. You better check your spiritual temperature then. Because it ought to make you mad when somebody absolutely 100% misrepresents God.
To feel included. So it is the work of a lifetime, honestly, to upend those images and ideas of God and Jesus that we've been shown, well, at least for me, my whole life.
Oh my goodness. You know how much work it takes to get people to get away from the Bible and to believe what I say about God? You know how hard it is for me to seduce the servants of the Lord to sin? You know how absolutely difficult it is for me to do that? It's like a life's work of mine. Well, congratulations, you absolute Jezebel, you wicked, vile creature before God, you absolutely wicked, vile woman. Congratulations. That's who you are. That's what you're doing. And do you realize she is openly admitted? I'm changing the truth of God into a lie. That's what I'm doing. And I'm trying to get 41 million other people to do the same thing. Gotcha. And by the way, see, this is how these women, you got to understand something. These kind of women, what they do, silly women laden with sins. They get followings from religious women, from Christian women, and they seduce them, and they seduce men. Why? Well, part of it's good looks. Many of these women are not the ugliest women in the world, right? The Bible says they're fair, and they use it to deceive many. They dress like that. They act that way. Mm-hmm. Like Paula White saying she worked her lips and her hips. Mm-hmm. Beth Moore. Yep. What are they doing? Teaching the servants of the Lord, seducing the servants of the Lord to sin. That's what she's doing. She just said that she is trying. Well, I'm going to let you listen to it again. I want you to listen to it again, what she said.
Images and ideas of God and the work of a lifetime, honestly, to upend those images and ideas of God and Jesus that we've been shown, well, at least for me, my whole life.
It is the work of a lifetime, she said. Okay, so some of you say, well, Pastor, I've never heard of them. Preacher, I've never heard of them before. Okay, well, now you know who she is. Now you can warn people when you see her books or her blogs or her vlogs or anything else. You could see that and you could say, you know what? That woman right there, she's a Jezebel. Well, Tribulation Force, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to play it longer than a 2-second interval, and you're going to be gone if you say anything else. You will be off this broadcast. I will not argue with you. You won't be in the chat. You'll just be gone because you're doing it to antagonize, and I really don't have a problem biting back a little bit. You got a little effeminate spirit. You're mad about what's being said, and you want to come on and you want to attack that. That's what you're mad about. The inner Jezebel starts to rise up, and that's why you're doing that. But it's okay. This is the last time I'm going to correspond with you. I'm just going to block you. That's just all there is to it. I will not be dictated like that. So just so you know, you got to understand, I'm the type of person that will purposely not do that because you did that. I am, really. Okay, so moving right along. Here's another one of Satan's emissaries. Here's another one that is doing that. Here's another one, right? Here's another one. Another pastor. He says he was an open letter. Right? Here's another one. Pastor apologizes to LGBTQ community for homophobia. What are they doing? Again, they're changing the image of God. They're changing the glory of God, the uncorruptible God, into corruptible man. That's what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing. That's right. And that's who the Antichrist is, because the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. That's exactly what they're doing.
This is an open letter to my friends in the LGBTQIA plus community.
You know, I don't have any friends in the LGBTQI plus community. I have no friends in the LGBTQI A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. I don't have anybody in that. Like, I don't have any of those. Right? I don't. Right? They do, though. How does a pastor have all kinds of friends like that? Tell me. How does a biblical pastor have friends like that? Why does a biblical pastor want friends like that?
This is an open letter to my friends in the LGBTQIA plus community from a former homophobic pastor. I'm sorry for every slur, every negative utterance, uneducated statement, and every unbiblical response. I'm sorry for all the times I made you feel less than, unworthy.
God's people are never worthy. Let me explain. Let me help you with something, okay? Let me stop right here. Man is never worthy of God's grace. Jesus and his imputed righteousness gives worth to our lives. Jesus and his imputed righteousness, his imparted righteousness, is what gives us worth. To tell people this is a mockery of the gospel, is what it is. They take away from the holiness of God, the glory of God, and they make it like a corruptible man. I'm sorry if you felt bad. I'm never sorry when people feel bad when they're being preached the truth. When you're being preached the truth, I don't feel sorry for you. Paul said he sorrowed that they would have sorrow unto hope. Right? That they would get right, that they would repent. Repentance not to be repented of, and not the sorrow of this world that worketh death. But now you have pastors that want to affirm these people. By the way, make no mistake about it. Put it on record. Write it down. These pastors that are affirming homosexuality are going to be homosexuals. They're going to come out homosexuals. It'll be found out they are. They're going to be involved with it. That's who they are. That's who they are. They're not going to only affirm it. They're going to participate in it. That's what they're going to do. Don't ever kid yourself. That's where it's going. They're going to do it right in the, I'm telling you, they're going to do it right in the house of God. That's what they're going to do. No, it's not like Lot. It's worse than Lot. Because Lot never had anything to do with it.
Loved or unwelcome. That was me walking in sin, not you. I'm sorry for every church bait and switch, every time I said that you were welcome, but I meant you weren't affirmed.
Let me be very clear. You're not welcome, and you're not affirmed by me. You're absolutely not welcome at Old Paths Baptist Church. You're not welcome. Absolutely 100% not welcome. Definitely not. If you want the gospel, I'll give it to you. If you want hope in the resurrection, I'll show you where to find it. If you want to live a wicked, vile lifestyle, and you want it affirmed, and you want to be comfortable in your sin, and you want to show up to the church house, and you want to defile God's people, not welcome. And I mean, with no reservation or hesitation. Absolutely, 100% not welcome. Like, no questions asked. By the way, Old Paths Baptist Church that meets in Northfield, Minnesota, does not have an all-are-welcome policy. We are not 7-Eleven. We are not the gas station. We are not a club. We are the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Not welcome. People that want to live vile and disgusting lives are not welcome. Well, if that's what you want to do, Tribulation 2.0 or Void X, you can do that if you want to. That's up to you. But you really should stop playing manipulative games, because the manipulation is not cool. You need to repent of that manipulation. It's not very kind. It's not very biblical at all. It's a bad spirit. And you need to repent of that bad spirit and stop living like you're a victim, because you're not a victim. If you're in Christ, you're a victor, and you need to stop living like you're a victim. Stop being victimized. Stop acting like that. There's no reason for it. All right. Now back to this guy. It's very clear that if somebody doesn't want to live a godly lifestyle, if they don't want to live for the Lord, if they don't want to do right, then guess what? They don't need to be there. They don't need to be here. They don't need to be there. They don't need to be at the church. They don't need to be at Old Paths Baptist Church. I'm not talking about online. I'm talking about Old Paths Baptist Church. I'm not talking about this thread. I'm saying as a, they don't need to be here. There is this mentality that is out there that, well, all are welcome. No, they're really not. See, the church is to be a place of decency and order. That's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a place of decency and an order. This guy is apologizing for the holiness of God. That's what he's doing. He's apologizing for God being holy. It's like saying, I'm sorry God's holy, and I was following God a little too much. I'm sorry for that.
I said that you were welcome, but I meant you weren't affirmed. For the proselytizing in hopes that you would change your lifestyle.
For the hopes that you would change your lifestyle. See, I had hopes that you would change your lifestyle. In parentheses. You have this guy right here. By the way, this devil in this hat right here, this devil over here, this devil-possessed man that's preaching a false Christ, this devil-possessed man, okay? This devil-possessed man, right? This misrepresenter of God has no hope to give these people. He has no hope to give these people. See, if I looked at the drug addict, okay, I have no hope to give him. If I don't tell him that he must repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and that Jesus will change his sinful life and give him new life in Christ. If I don't do that, then I have no hope to give him. I have no hope to give the down and out, the derelict. I have no hope to give the drug addict. I have no hope to give the sodomite. I have no hope to give any of the sex pervert, period. If Jesus doesn't change men and they don't need changed, what am I doing? Running a club? What am I doing? Running a club? Is that what I'm doing? Am I running a nightclub? Is that what Christianity is about then? Does it become some club? What is it then? If God doesn't change sinners, then what is it?
Spent way too long fighting against you, so I promise to spend the rest of my life fighting with you. Happy Pride.
Oh, this guy makes me so sick. This guy makes me, oh, this is so disgusting. This is a supposed pastor. Right? This is a pastor that just wished happy pride That's what he did. It's unreal. It's just unreal. That's what he did. You think about this. So what is he saying? The same thing this woman's saying. Same thing this male is saying. Right? Now, the Catholic high school, which we know Catholics are, Roman Catholicism is not biblical Christianity, but still, it's setting a precedent. Watch.
Her name is Britta Filter, and she is the Queen of New York! Yeah!
I didn't know that was going to be on there. That is so disgusting. Okay. So. He said, I literally went to church to teach the children today. A drag queen who goes by the name of Britta Filter wrote in a post on TikTok. A Catholic high school here in NYC invited me to their Pride Chapel. A Pride Chapel? Justin Money, don't be foolish. You said that pastor may have been apologizing out of fear because someone threatened him. No. No. That's what he believes. That's what he believes. I do what I believe. I follow the Bible because I believe the Bible, because of God's Spirit inside of me, because of the Holy Ghost of God leading me. He is following that because that's what's in his heart. That's who he is. A Catholic high school here in NYC invited me to their Pride Chapel. Visibility matters. And I'm so honored to have had a chance to talk to you about my work. Of all things the Roman Catholic Church gets wrong, the Mass, Saint veneration, idolatry, and most importantly, justification, the organization is typically always ruled correctly on social behavior such as homosexuality and abortion, which is their open policy. But the Jesuits have a dual policy. They have an open one, they have a secret one. Secretly, they support abortion. Secretly, they support fornication. Secretly, they support pedophilia. Secretly, the Pope runs the greatest trafficking operation in the world. Secretly, they are perverts. Yet under the current Pope, we've seen a movement away from that, from a staunch adherence to conservative doctrine on these issues. Francis has stated that homosexuals are God's children. He conducted a mass for gay Catholics and endorsed same-sex unions in a documentary film recently released. At some point, it should come as no surprise if the Roman Catholic Church and all the apostate Protestant spinoffs join her in a massive sexual rebellion. Oh, it's coming. Mm-hmm. So this is what they paraded in front of children. You understand? This is what they paraded in front of them at a Catholic high school. This is it. That's what they did. You think about that for a second. Right? You think about that. That's what they supported. Because that's who they are. Mm-hmm. Why? That's what's in their hearts. That's what's in their hearts. This is what they're teaching children. It looks like a gay Chucky doll. That's what it looks like. A big fat gay Chucky doll. Ugh. Here it is. Another one. What are they doing? They're changing who God is. A progressive church recently held a Pride worship service honoring Pride Month. Okay, let's take the gay part out of it. Let's take the sodomite part out of Pride. When should God's people ever be celebrating Pride? God hates pride. Right? God hates pride, right? But these Christians, these Christians misrepresent who God is. The horrid, by the way, let's look at what the Bible says about pride. Let's just look at a few things that God says. So a pride service. That he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. It says he beholdeth all things. He is the king over the children of pride. Talk about Leviathan, Satan. And pictured in Satan. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. What are they doing? God is not in all their thoughts. They want to change who God is. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. God hates pride. Let not the foot of pride come against me, said David. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. You're to hate pride, not celebrate pride. That's why Sodom fried, remember? Because of pride. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim. You know, the God that they're describing is the God that nobody hates. Remember that? Remember when I talked to you about that? The God that nobody hates? I want to remind you of something. I'm going to give you this. I want you to listen to this 4-minute clip. Listen to this.
But my friends, we see a judgment coming. We see the terror of the Lord coming in judgment that he is going to bring down upon mankind. We have seen this judgment in the past. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Genesis 6:13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Do you understand this is the terror of the Lord? That word terror means judgment as well. It gives the idea of a judgment. You fear the righteous judge. Do you understand? Who is this God that they're preaching today? Who is this God when they snidely walk by you when you preach the Bible to them and they say, God is love! God is love! Who is this God that destroyed the whole world? Who is this God that listened and heard the cries of man as he wept and he screamed and he was drowning with water in his lungs? Therefore, know we the terror of the Lord. We know the terror of the Lord. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Where was that terror? That terror was seen when He destroyed the very creation that He made with His own hands. The very creation that He spoke into existence. The very man that He breathed into the nostrils, the breath of life. He filled those nostrils with water and drowned them in their own destruction. Do you understand that's the terror of the Lord? Do you understand that's the same God? Who is this God that they preach as we go out on the streets and we hear them proclaim? Who is this God that Billy Graham and these other devils preach? This God with no terror. This God that is just a joke. This God that's not angry at anybody. This God that's not judging anybody. God looked at His own creation and said, I will destroy you. And He not only said He would destroy them, He did destroy them. He drowned the whole world in a flood. Do you understand? This is that same God that I preach to you. This is that same God that is in this book. That is the terror of the Lord. This is the terror of the Lord. They didn't think of the terror of the Lord, did they? I suppose when Noah entered the ark, and God shut the door behind him, and they felt a little mist on their face. I suppose they mocked and laughed at the man that went into the door of that ark. I suppose they laughed, and they mocked at him, and they shook their fist and laughed and said, there is no judgment coming. There is no judgment. God is love. God is love. God is love. God is love. And then when they felt a sprinkle on their face, and when they seen raindrops come down and rain come down, and then when they seen the windows of the windows of heaven open, and then when they seen the flood, when they seen the fountains of the deep broke up and the world was beginning to flood, and they watched those around them drown, and they ran to the mountains, and they flee to the mountains to get on top of the mountains to stay alive, just like they will do in this apocalypse that will come. They will do the same thing as God is ready to bring judgment down. They will try to get themselves to the tallest mountain. They will try to escape as far away from the wrath of God as they can, and it will do them no good, because the terror of the Lord will come for them, because God is a terror. You want to know a terrorist that strikes terror in the heart of man? It is God who is the greatest terrorist of all, who will strike the fear into man's heart. And let me just tell you something. I don't need to stand here and defend him either, because he is just and holy to strike fear and terror in the hearts of creation that rebelled against him, that shook their fist at him, that laughed at all his warnings, that mocked him.
Amen. Well, I preached that. There's an entire sermon to that. This is just a clip that Aaron clipped off for me years ago, back in 2015. Hard to believe, Aaron, that was 7 years ago. But that right there was, you could listen to the whole sermon. I forgot what it's called now, but anyway, that was a classic right there for sure. You know, that's the God that that's the God that they hate. They hate that God. They want to make God different. They want to make God in their own image, right? That's what they're doing. Take, for instance, this person here, this woke pastor, says there are lesbian angels who consensually flirt with queer Christian women. Again, a Jezebel, the evangelical, the ELC, A is a raging dumpster fire of blasphemy, says the dissenter. Given their love of everything Antichrist, it is no exaggeration to say that sitting through an actual church service at one of their pagan temples is a foretaste of the hell that awaits them if they don't repent. Here are just a few of their greatest hits. Church holds pride worship service. Woke church newsletter invites congregants to help pay for abortions. Female Jezebel fake pastor says Jesus called Syrophoenician woman a, quote, bitch, unquote. What she said. Queer ELCA pastrix ordained with drag queen nuns while Jennifer Knapp serenades. I'm telling you, these are Jezebels. These are Jezebels. We talked about this a while back. These are those Jezebels. That's who they are. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. By claiming that because it's common and orthodox to personify all the biblical virtues as women, think women, wisdom, and Proverbs, that is somehow follows that goodness and mercy can be the names of God's righteous lesbian angels. Mercilessly and consensually flirting with your whole life. Look. If you like that sort of thing, ruthless and sacred pursuit from lesbian angels, maybe flirtatious pursuit by women angels work for straight men too, but not everything is for them. It is common and orthodox to personify all the Bible virtues as women. Do you understand? The scriptures are ours too. By the way, is not original to me, but received wisdom whispered to me by God-fearing Lutheran church lesbians. Our imagination is just as sanctified as any other. These people are possessed, and they're representing a false god. And they're deceiving men everywhere and women everywhere. That's what they're doing. This is who these people are, friend. And they're becoming more and more popular as time goes on. Just like this prominent Nigerian apostle says, not every word in the Bible is the word of God.
We call this the Bible. Hallelujah. But let me tell you something. Not every word that is written here, please don't stone me. Please don't stone me yet. Not every word that is written here is called the word of God. Hallelujah. In this Bible, demons spoke. Is that correct? In this Bible, Satan spoke. In this Bible, unbelievers spoke. Is that correct? Please follow me. In this Bible, Jesus himself spoke. In this Bible, false prophets spoke. Are you following me now? So when the Bible gives us the future of what he calls the Word of God, the Word of God is any part in this Bible that is able to give you spirit and life. It says, the words that I speak, this is the proof that they are from me. They will give you spirit and life. So, not every word that is written here, as it were, is life-giving. Many of you want to attack me with the scripture that says, the Bible says, all scripture was inspired of the Holy Ghost and is for our profiting. Calm down. Let me explain this to you. Please, let me have two people, Aaron and someone.
Okay, so here's what he's doing. He's discounting the scriptures. I'm not even going to keep listening to it because I don't want people to be deceived by what he's saying. Here's the thing. What he is trying to say is that because there are lies that are recorded in the Bible, that that's not scripture. That's stupid. These things were written for our admonition, for our learning. Even the mistakes of those that fell in the wilderness and the lies of their that they told to God, those things are recorded for us. They're warnings to us. Satan's words to Jesus were recorded for our learning, for our admonition. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. See, that's how serpents speak. They want to talk you out of your Bible, and they want to do it very subtly. That's how they do it. They do it in a subtle way. That's who they are. And that's what they teach. There are these people want to, they don't want God to be holy. They don't want God to be right. Now, barring this guy who's an absolute raging heretic fool, and he's making himself the authority over God's word, which is what all these people are doing. These people have all made themselves an authority over God's word. He's apologizing for God being holy. He's condemning preachers that believe in a patriarchy and that God made man in his own image. In the image of God, made he man. They don't want God to be male. They don't want God to be, they don't want Jesus Christ to be a man, right? They don't want that. Why? Because they want chaos. They want disorder. They want to deceive. They want God to, they hate the patriarchy. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own image, in his own likeness, after his image. In his own likeness. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. There is a patriarchy all over the Bible. And that's why there's this spirit now where all these men that are apologizing for God, they have an effeminate spirit. Look at the spirit that they have. Whoops. Yeah. This guy's a sodomite openly. Transgender. Closet sodomite. Gotta be. No longer sees it as sin. No longer sees their lifestyle as something they must repent of. No longer wants to deal with sin. And here's a woman that hates men. She hates the patriarchy. She hates male leadership. Why? Because it's in the image of God. That's why. Male leadership. The patriarchy is in the image of God. And when you have raging feminists that hate it, it's because they hate God. That's why. They hate God. They do. They absolutely hate God. The Bible says, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled at Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. I'm going to say something to all of you out here that's going to probably make most of you mad. But every single one of those Pentecostal women that led movements were in sin, not of God, and probably are in hell today. Did not believe the gospel and hated God. There you go. Plain as day. And if you're a Pentecostal, you're following Jezebel. That's what you are. You are following that spirit. It was a movement that was started by women, apostate women, and that's what it is. And if you're following it, you're just as apostate as they are. And if you're not, if you don't believe that, then come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins and of her judgment. Come out of her then. If you're really a saved child of God, then you leave that nonsense right now and you walk away from that feminist Jezebel movement. And that goes for the limp-wristed Seventh-day Adventist men who are following them. Goes for the same thing. You had a movement started by a woman, and you're following a woman, and you're following Jezebel, and you're following false teachers, and you got the same effeminate spirit. And it's not of God. The whole movement was started by a deceived woman. And the Pentecostal holiness movements deceived women. And effeminate men that follow them. But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled at Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something, lady. You have zero right as a woman to religiously lead anything. You have zero right to claim to be a prophetess. You have zero right to claim to be some kind of spiritual leader. You are in absolute sin and deception and in bondage. And deceived. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. You know where your protection lies? You know where you're safe in the arms of Christ and you're protected by the Holy Ghost of God? Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Let me say this to you also. If you're a wife and you're a Christian and you think you're more spiritual than your husband who's a Christian, and you think you're going to lead your family, or you don't want to submit to your husband, you don't want to submit to the authority that God gave you, you're deceived. And you will provoke that husband many times over by not allowing him to lead, by fighting his leadership, by not trusting him when he's trying to spiritually lead his home. Brian and Debbie said this: I believe all women in government, especially high level, should be removed. Never would have said that years ago. Thank God for bringing order. I agree with you 100%. I absolutely agree with you 100%. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived. You see, you know what Satan wants? You know what Satan wants? To make families ineffective. You know how he makes Christian families ineffective? He gets man not to fulfill his role, and he gets the wife not to fulfill her role. That's how. Let me explain something to you. And I'm going to be very real with you and explain something very, very plainly. Please listen very closely. I wish, I don't even know if I have it on here. I probably don't. Let me see if I do. I'll put me in the wide shot. I do have it. All right, here we go. In the wide shot now. Listen very closely. It's a little out of focus, but that's okay. All you'll see is a bunch more gray hair. It really won't matter. Listen very closely. I want to help you with something. I could never do, ever, what my wife has been equipped to do. Ever. I can't be a mother. I can't be. I can't do what my wife does. I can't guide the home like God has equipped her to do. I can't give order and multitask the way that my wife does, the way God has equipped her to. I can't do that. I can't. I could never fulfill the ministry that God has given me if my wife was not fulfilling the ministry that God has given her. Do you understand that? Yeah, I'm trying to get you to understand very simply what I'm saying here. That there is no way that I could be effective in the ministry without my wife being effective as a wife and mother. There's no way. There's no way my children and I can't teach my daughter to be a lady like my wife can. I can't instill in my son the motherly side that he needs to be balanced correctly as a young man. You see, young men need a feminine, calm, loving mother. They need it. My daughters need the example of a submissive, kind, gentle mother towards her husband, loving and affectionate, sacrificing and giving. I can't give them that. I can't. God didn't equip me to give them that. He equipped her. And as a father, my wife can't teach my son to be a masculine man. I have to. It's my duty. I get the privilege of doing that. My sons. I have another one now. Sometimes I forget about that. But to teach him to be a man. Also, to teach my daughters what it means for a man to love a woman. That I love their mother. That I'm kind and affectionate towards their mother. That I'm tender towards her. And that if she's wrong, then I show her where she's wrong and I lead her. See, that has to happen. But what do these devils want to do? Destroy it. They want to turn it into a unisex society. That's what they want to do. So there's no more roles of male and female. So there's no nurturing mother. So there's no strong masculine man. That's what they want to do. But what we're doing here, not only in my own home, but also in this church, is raising an army of children that understand it. They know what that means. They know the importance of it. And they're going to be raised to live that way. And by God's grace, they'll be saved by the grace of God, and they'll walk in that truth. And we will export that all over the world through churches and starting churches and seeing people saved and baptized and churches formed.